The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line's open line through till one today. Call, text, email and WhatsApp. Tomorrow, the Chief Minister will be on Man in Line, Alfred Cannon, MHK. We'll be taking your calls and questions tomorrow. But today, the floor is yours, whatever you want to talk about. Michelle Haywood, MHK, says we need better defences against extreme weather events. Stu Peters, motion for a referendum got voted down yesterday. And if there's anything else on your mind, then by all means, hit the phones. I look forward to the frequency and severity of named storms, says 313. Thank you, that. They'll reduce over the coming years due to our government spending millions on net zero, which will change world weather patterns, says Gaz. Regarding net zero, says Ralph, do we really trust our government with their track record? Just look at the lack of personal accountability for every single infrastructure mess up across the board. They'll finally put the last nail in the coffin with these wind turbines, and nobody will be responsible for the upkeep of them but the taxpayer. Let's not lead the world. Let's go with the flow as the price of these things come down. The MHKs that deny to say should be got rid of at the upcoming elections. They don't listen. This is Ralph's words, by the way. They don't listen. None of them's run a business, and it shows. I'm flabbergasted that they know the situation better than those footing the bill. Thank you, Ralph. Good to hear from you. Well, of course, the important point to consider is they got voted in and you didn't. They stood for election and they were voted in. So it's a bit late to start kind of worrying about that. Those politicians, the lawmakers, were voted in by the people, and that's their mandate. It will all change, as you say. Next September, times will change. On Thursday, 24th of September next year, from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m, the polling booths will be open. Things may change. Some may not. You never know. But remember, if you want change, if you feel that change should happen, the Isle of Man is very close to the democratic process. We all know our MHKs. We know our MLCs. We know where they are. They know us. We can walk past them in the street. Democracy is never closer than on the Isle of Man. So we'll see what happens next year. Oh, by the way, let me just mention, we heard a little commercial word for that, but St John's Farmers Market's on today at the Church Hall in St John's till 3 o'clock. Fresh local produce will be available. And they're very good on skeet at the Farmers Markets, so if you want to pop along to that at St John's Farmers Market in the Church Hall. Plenty of free parking close by as well. Here's Julian with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Well, very well, thank you, yes.
Excellent, excellent. It was an interesting session in Tynwald yesterday. Did you get to hear any of it?
Some of it, yes. We talked a lot to the students at QE2 yesterday, but I did catch quite a bit of it.
Yeah, I caught up with that as well. I found it interesting that one of the students said that they felt that an onshore wind farm was not the way to go, which is kind of interesting. I'd like to thank Gary Cluett, actually, for giving out so much information. I'm not going to go point by point with all the stuff that he said, but I found it interesting that on the one hand, we should be avoiding the influence of the fossil fuel providers like Exxon, yet on the other hand, the Isle of Man government, it seems, are actually bound to net zero policies to appease ESG companies, and Gary listed some of them as PwC, the Isle of Man Bank, Utmost, and Flutter Entertainment as a reason to vote down the referendum, it seems. I find it interesting that Irish company Flutter Entertainment, which is the parent company of most online gambling platforms like PokerStars, is named on the Securities and Exchange Commission's website at sec.gov as having been recently fined $4 million for illegally paying Russian government officials and consultants $9 million in cash and gifts in an effort to legalize poker in Russia. Also, the other company that Gary mentioned, Utmost International, is currently embroiled here in an 8-star star class action on the island involving 1,600 investors. This action to do with inadequately disclosed huge commissions paid to their brokers. This case is still pending, but is described in the local press as one of the most expensive ever to go through the Isle of Man courts. So it seems that the real reason to vote down the net zero referendum is to benefit companies like these, not the people of the Isle of Man.
Well, we've talked about this. We've talked about this before. In that they've talked about worldwide representation of this. And the fact is, we are a global entity. We do have people, companies from all over the world, and they will be bound by their corporate practices. And the other thing is that lots of companies are very risk averse when it comes to activist action. You know, witness when you get these people flinging orange paint at the banks in London or what have you, or gluing themselves to things. So they're corporate, companies will look after themselves, Julian. So they'll make sure that they are, if you like, squeaky clean where this is concerned. So nobody glues themselves to a headquarters somewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Flutter Entertainment or Utmost International particularly squeaky clean. He also referenced certain things, saying things like referenda is dangerous for democracy and not suitable for complex issues, which I think is another way of saying that the Manx public are too stupid to understand net zero. He mentioned Switzerland's direct democracy in a negative light, mentioning their refusal to accept net zero policies through their referendum system. So I took a look at that referendum. That was voted on in June of 2021, and it was called the CO2 Law or the CO2 Gesetz referendum. Now, the Swiss public's views that rejected the net zero implementation were as follows, Andy. They said no because of higher heating costs for households. They also said no due to rural residents relying on cars due to lack of public transport in the areas. And they also said older housing stock was not compatible with very expensive heat pumps. They also said flight levies would destroy tourism and potentially put Swissair out of business. And it would also threaten many businesses, including taxi firms, shipping transport, retail business owners like cafes and restaurants, leisure complexes, and would also damage their agricultural sector. Does that sound familiar, Andy?
Well, yeah, but you have to also look at the point that Switzerland has always ploughed its own furrow. You know, it was neutral in two world wars. They are very, very resilient and very self-reliant. So the Swiss have got, they're not, what I'm trying to say is, they're not allied to anybody. Whereas the Isle of Man we do have a relationship with the UK and lots of UK companies.
Well, I find it interesting you say that. Switzerland averages around 15 federal referendum initiative items each year, and that's not including a lot of separate cantonal and municipal referenda. And as a result of all this, at the moment, looking at the ranking, Switzerland is number one worldwide for infrastructure quality, including public transport, utilities, and the best road quality index.
Oh, those Swiss railways are something else.
Oh, yeah. They're number one for innovation and competitiveness, which is what you just said. They're also ranked highest for happiness in the Human Development Index, and they have got one of the highest GDP per capita of any country in the world. He also mentioned two times when the referendum act on the Isle of Man was refused by Tynwald. I think he said that the reason for that was, no, this is our job. But the referendum act on the island hasn't only been refused twice, it's been refused nine times. He mentioned the redistribution of keys in 81, but he didn't mention the abrogation of the customs and excise agreement that was requested to have a referendum in 83. The Homosexual Rights Act, the bill, was requested twice in 1990 and 91. Residency control was requested as a referendum in 2002, again rejected by Tynwald. Even the change to the Lieutenant Governor's title in 06 was rejected. Of course, he mentioned the public election directly of MLCs in 2011 and again in 16, which I personally think is probably a very good idea. And most recently, the referendum for the clauses in the assisted dying bill last year.
Yeah, so where does this... Where does this leave us, though, Julian? I mean, how much further... are we any further forward than we were?
I think it's pulled the mask on exactly what we think. You know, the problem you've got is the manifestos from 2021 bear almost no relation to what they're trying to push through at the moment. So it's no wonder that people are calling for referendums and stuff, because it's becoming very clear. And I think another side of this is that the local constituents are now getting on the case of the MHKs, because they, you know, it's hitting them directly now, not some distant in the past.
Yeah. But this will surely, I mean, this will open the way then, if there are any enterprising MHK candidates who can see, you know, the way forward, then surely this is the perfect time for them. They've got less than a year to run up to this. If they want to get involved, if they've got a manifesto that they think is going to hold water and gain traction with the public, then it's the perfect time for them. You know, the election will, you know, it refreshes the DNA of the nation, if you like, refreshes the democratic DNA. We get new blood in and we get new politicians, and the public has their say.
Well, it's the Referendum Act's 46th birthday today. It's not much of a birthday for the Referendum Act when it's been refused nine times over the years.
It must be a bit lonely sitting up there on the shelf.
Well, absolutely, and I think it's patently obvious from the speech, if you go through a lot of the things that were said, that ignore the fossil fuel people, we're into the ESG companies, and that's why we have to do what we're doing. And that is also was reiterated earlier by Claire Barber, saying that there would be consequences from the point of view of ESG companies on the island.
Yeah.
I personally would tell them to do one, personally. I think we need to go our own way on this, because the current trajectory will break this island.
So what happens, though, if these companies that have got ESG obligations, what happens if they say, well, look, you know, we're off and we're taking all our jobs with us?
You might remember 2 years ago I mentioned to you a Wall Street Journal article, ESG, the new dirty word on Wall Street. It's done. It's finished in many countries now.
Right.
A little bit like the trajectory of renewables.
Okay.
So I think, you know, we're sort of behind the curve on that one.
Appreciate
anyway,
it.
Thanks, Andy.
Good
Cheers.
To hear from you. Thanks for being with us today. And Adam's with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hello, Andy. Can you hear me loud and clear today?
Loud and clear.
Oh, excellent. I'm just ringing up about a couple of things. The first thing, Digital Isle of Man seemingly announced the other week at a press conference they held in Douglas. I think it might have been at the Empress Hotel. But they held a conference and they announced that they were going to set up a registry for data and information. And they think this is a really good idea because the Isle of Man is good at registries, as it's got a shipping registry, which has been really successful. But the problem that I have, Andy, is the shipping registry the Isle of Man has been really successful because it is competitive. Every country in the world has a shipping register, and the Isle of Man's is competitive. It's, you know, it's perhaps less bureaucratic, or it's less, you know, it's more competitive in one way or another. In one way or another, it's more competitive than other countries, than the United Kingdom, as many of the offshore overseas territories and Crown dependencies are. Bermuda and other places also have successful shipping registries. So because it's more competitive, let's say, than other jurisdictions, the Isle of Man shipping registry has been successful. But no other country has a data registry. So in what way is a data registry and information registry going to be attractive to business? In what way, by Digital Isle of Man, the government has set up all these pet quangos. We've got Locate Isle of Man, Digital Isle of Man, goodness knows what else Isle of Man. And none of them, to my mind, are doing a very good job. And for Digital Isle of Man to say, you know, to think that they're building an industry essentially by bureaucratizing every other sector so that every other sector has to register information and data, And then they're saying they're going to build an industry. And what they're effectively saying is they're building, creating an industry by creating jobs, bureaucratic jobs, servicing the bureaucracy that they're going to create by requiring everybody to register the collection of information. You know, in what way is this going to be attractive to business? They might create a few jobs by bureaucratizing and, you know, bureaucratizing information and the collection of information, and there'll be people servicing that bureaucracy, but it's going to drive its growth down in every other sector. And what is the point of a quango which drives down growth in every other sector? Can you see one?
Well, I mean, obviously they think there's something in it. I mean, what do you think they think is good about it?
Well, I think they're deluded. I think they've looked at things entirely the wrong way. They said, gosh, we're good at this shipping registry. We've done really successfully with the shipping registry. Let's create an information registry. I think someone's probably sold them the idea. You know, I think it's ridiculous. Can they not see that, obviously, that if you bureaucratise information, you know, no other country in the world has got a registry for data and information. If they're going to create one and bureaucratise the collection of information, this isn't going to encourage business to come to the Isle of Man. It's going to drive down growth in every other sector. And ultimately, they're creating a sector. It might be full of private businesses in the registry, like the shipping registry is, but they're proxy businesses for the state, aren't they? They're businesses which service the state's bureaucracy.
But, I mean, sure is anything. There is money in data, isn't there? I mean, the whole world runs on data now, so surely, I mean, if we have a register that can get some money out of that, that's surely a good idea.
Well, no, because, I mean, it's disincentivizing other business to come to Isle of Man. You know, if you have what's data, Randy? Visualizations, information, pictures of data. You know, you can send huge amounts of data in a picture now or in an image. And I think some of the spy networks do exactly that. And in order to, you know, how are they going to regulate it? Where do they stop with data? You know, scientific diagrams of data. How do you define data? You know, it's very difficult to define, and where the limits of it are, I've no idea. And why do they want to centralise the exchange of data? You know, why does everything have to be centralised? And why does the state have to take control where there was no control before?
Okay.
Well, you know, maybe there's been problems with information exchange in the Isle of Man. That's a possibility, and they're trying to do something about it. But it's not been sold that way.
Okay.
It's been sold as, here we are creating an industry. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about, Andy, if you don't mind, was the steam packet. And the steam packet sailing to Ireland every day. They are absolutely nuts. I tell you, the Ben McCree going to Ireland every other day, or it's virtually every day, there is no demand for Irish services. And Andy, the steam packet have tried numerous times in the past to get Irish services to pay. Back in the 1990s, they sent the King, or anyone who knows anything about the history of the steam packet, which clearly none of the directors do, or managers, then will be able to tell you that back in the day in the 1990s, they tried to get freight services to Belfast to pay with the King Ori. They tried to run freight services from England through to Ireland via the Isle of Man, and to get them to pay using the King Ori. That was back in the mid-1990s. Then in the late 2000s, they ran the Snae Fell. They tried to get the Snae Fell. She used to go three times a week to Belfast and two or three times a week to Dublin, as well as doing day trips to various places. They were trying to get her to pay, you know, her to pay by increasing the number of Irish sailings, trying to get more traffic on the route. And time and time again, this has failed. This has failed. And it's known that there is no demand for Irish sailings, no demand, at least there's no demand for Dublin. There may be demand for Belfast, but there is no demand for Dublin. And the steam packet have decreased Dublin sailings every season since it last ran. It last had a specific boat going to Ireland, which was the Snae Fell, HSC Snae Fell, back in 2011. Every year they have decreased Irish sailings since then because they do not pay and they cannot get enough traffic on the route.
There is some. There's another side to that, is that you will only find out if the business is there if you do put lots of sailings on. Give it a couple of years, and if the market isn't growing, then you've had a go. At least you've had a try at it.
Well, no, I don't agree with that, Andy, because they've tried it so many times. Tried it with the King Henri in the 1990s, tried it with the Snaefell in the late 2000s, the Emerald France and the Snaefell, and now they're trying it with the Ben McCree, sending her every day to Ireland. The Ben McCree costs a hell of a lot of money to send. You know, she's basically a freight vessel, and there is no demand there's no demand for freight on Irish routes, Andy, and I tell you, for them to send it every day, that is going to cost the Manx taxpayers so much money. That is the way to get the steam packet deeply back into debt. And I am sure if they were an independent private company, they would not be sending the Ben McCree. I think it is ridiculous. It's what Euromanx tried to do when they expanded massively and were totally unsuccessful in their expansions. You know, just too fast, too quick. There's no demand, Andy. You cannot create demand.
Okay.
You can only respond to a demand which is already there. There is no demand already there.
Adam, we appreciate it. Good to hear from you, as always. 27 minutes past 12. What are your thoughts on that regarding the steam packet increasing services to Ireland? Is it a sprat to catch a mackerel, or is it not going to work? Well, any thoughts on this, particularly if you're in the Irish diaspora? What do you think about this? Certainly, Mr. Thompson will be thinking very hard about it. The board of directors will be thinking very hard about it. It is an arm's length company, after all. Mark with us now. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Andy. I just wanted to talk about, it sort of got lost within the net zero discussion yesterday, but yesterday in Tynwald, Tynwald voted down the issuance of any new gas licence. They basically said, keep the gas in the ground, we're not interested. That was one part of the motion that, in all due credit to Chris Thomas, he wanted to have that open discussion in Tynwald, and it got shut down. And the other motion that got shut down was enabling the MHKs to actually get a detailed study on what the value of the total gas field is and what needs to be done to extract it, i.e. Get the regulations in place and also look at the Ørsted co-location and cooperation agreement. And again, that was voted down. And last week, there was another Chris Thomas question with regard, and he asked the DOI minister, Michelle Hayward, could the MHKs actually view the co-location cooperation agreement that Ørsted have with the government? Because that's one of the main reasons why the gas no exploration company will consider looking at the Manx gas field, because there's some clause in there and we don't know what it is. And Chris Thomas asked Michelle Hayward, and Michelle Hayward openly in Tynwald said Ørsted does not agree for any MHK to look at that agreement, even in a closed private room. So I think there's a cover up, Andy, because there's something in that Ørsted agreement that is preventing the Isle of Man exploring the gas. And two, we have very radical Tynwald, who are just have a lack of common sense, are not acknowledging that gas is a transition fuel. And it's quite a scary position. They've actually turned their back on the possibility of a £4 billion gas field because of their views. And Michelle Hayward openly said that she believes that the Isle of Man public are being corrupted by fossil fuel, the fossil fuel lobby. I mean, it's scary, Andy. And I think, you know, it was quite a scary, it was very enlightening. And also, it's quite a close call. It was 10-13 in Tynwald, right? So basically the block vote of the cabinet basically meant it went against the Chris Thomas's motion. But it's quite scary how radical we are. I think everyone acknowledges that we want to become more green and reduce our carbon footprint. But to do that, to cut off your nose to spite your face, to actually say, well, okay, we've potentially got a large gas field. We have got a gas field. We just don't know if we can extract it at a commercial rate. It's absolutely nonsense.
Where did you get the figure from as to how much this gas field may possibly be worth?
Well, this is bit that the Kroger previously issued, the total field was worth $5 billion, and this new gas company called Mark Gas, they've mentioned $4 billion. Now, DOI have actually commissioned studies on this, and they're refusing to actually reveal this information right to the rest of the Tin World.
Now, is that because obviously at the moment Ørsted don't want anything revealed to anybody, purely because they're in the planning stage at the moment? So I'm sure at the right time they'll have their say.
No, I disagree with that, Andy, because it's not releasing the information to the general public. The Michelle Hayward has basically said she's not prepared to give the Ørsted agreement in a private meeting room in order for all MHKs to view it. So it's not online, it's not to the general public, it's given the MHKs, our Tin World, the information to actually, so they can actually make a decision and determine what's going on with the Ørsted agreement. Tin World has also been denied information with regards to what the value of the gas field is. This was in Chris Thomas's motion. It's an absolute it's disgusting, Andy. It absolutely. I mean, if anyone's got the time to listen to Tin World, listen again. It's shocking how radical our Tin World is, and we're in quite a scary sort of position at the moment. I just wanted to say that, Andy.
Okay.
Really,
but, all right. Yep. Appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for calling today. It's 27 minutes before one. If you've got any thoughts on this, then please do get in touch. Mr. Peters' motion to have a referendum next year alongside the general election was voted down. But then again, bearing in mind what Julian said, it seems we're not in favour of referenda. They haven't really happened in the past.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from everyone at Doom School.
Christmas. Twinkling lights, a nip in the air, gatherings with friends and family, and the perfect time to enjoy a delicious glass of Bushy's Manx beer. Available in all the island's finest establishments. And remember, Bushy's is the only brewery supporting Manx farmers by using locally grown barley in our brews. So enjoy a Bushy's this Christmas and take a taxi or bus home. Bushy's, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a hoppy new beer.
Scrap metal coming out of your ears? Then there's only one place to call, Castaignes Scrap Metal, of course. Castaignes pay top prices for lead, brass, copper, aluminium and stainless steel, as well as ferrous metals, scrap vehicles, and they're even licensed to scrap lead-acid batteries. Drop it off today or Castaignes can come and take it away. Castaignes Scrap Metal, Foxtel Road, call 801-337.
The nights are getting darker, and you know what that means. It's nearly Christmas. At Millichaps, you'll find all you need to add that sparkle this festive season. Decorate your home with quirky ornaments, fabulous rugs and lamps, and beautiful pictures. Millichaps also have a great range of unusual gifts, so don't delay. Call Santa, is that you?
Shh! Ooh, there's some great finds here at Millichaps.
Yes, there are. Take time to browse Millichaps of Ramsey, a town full of special little shops.
Today at 5:30, join me, Fiona McArdle, for Shachle. Dev Vunja, Vashira Kachle. Two kinsmen who wanted change, Edward and William Christian. As Dev Skeel and Hin. And two stories of the sea.
That's when six of us went down to the Mary Rose and worked on it. But of course, the racehorse was totally different from the Mary Rose.
That's 5:30 today, Shachle, with me, Fiona McArdle.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Texter 017 says, the news has been very quiet regarding the scabies outbreak. It's very embarrassing. Well, Manx Care has confirmed an isolated outbreak of scabies at Nobles Hospital. We've got a statement from Manx Care says, all necessary precautions and procedures are being followed to ensure the safety and well-being of patients and staff. It adds, the situation is being monitored, but there is no risk to the wider public as well. Right, but Bonzo's with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, just hearing Mark talking about Tin World being radical. If he thinks Tin World is radical, he's obviously standing somewhere next to Donald Trump, I think, looking at Tin World being somehow radical. I don't see much in the way of radical thought there. and especially from the from listening to the debates recently, both in Keys and in Tynwald. But that's a by the by. Mark, didn't Mark ever have any interest in Kroger? I asked myself, as his questioning and information does have the smack of someone who has an interest in this, rather than simply observation.
Oh, you mean a pecuniary interest rather than just a passing interest? Don't know. We don't ask that sort of questions, Bonzo. You haven't got an interest in Kroger, have you?
No. Well, my only interest in Kroger is that it doesn't exist. Or shouldn't, anyway. That's by the by. Yes. Talking about Julian as well and his observations about the Swiss and ESG. Well, firstly, when it comes to referendums in Switzerland, of course, Switzerland is a federated state, made up of cantons, and also of four distinct ethnic groups. You know, you have the Italians, the Swiss, the Romansh, the Germans, and the French. As reflected in the place names, and especially in one of the place names of the German part of Switzerland, i.e. Zurich, the financial capital of Switzerland, which strangely enough is the, I think, the largest at the moment financial concern on the Isle of Man, and which is required to fulfil ESG. And I believe has said in the past that if there is somehow some move by the Manx government to not have ESG, then they'd be off. And how many jobs are there at Zurich?
Hundreds.
300? Hundreds, yes. So Julian perhaps might like to have a chat with their employees when he recommends that people who say that they should continue with ESG or they have to continue with ESG should do one. That's hardly the remark of a responsible viewpoint, and certainly not the remark of a responsible potential candidate. So perhaps people might want to actually think about that. Much of the opposition to the net zero referendum, again, as Gary Clewitt and other people have pointed out, the problem with referenda is that they are very easily hijacked by external influences. And we're seeing this already with various sort of Reform UK, UKIP, Tommy Robinson supporter, fellow travellers, cropping up in social media, busy spreading as much disinformation as possible. And I am sure that if such a referendum had been allowed to be parallel to the 26th general election, then it would have been used by those kind of people from across to actually push their kind of policies, to make sure their kind of people got into Tynwald, so that then they could point to the Isle of Man as somewhere being a beacon of sense,
You seriously think that people from across would try and influence a Tynwald election or a referendum? I mean, we'd see through that. we'd see through that like a pane of glass.
Not necessarily. I mean, the United Kingdom, of course, didn't see through that, or certainly England didn't see through that. England and Wales, I think, didn't see through that when it came to the Brexit referendum. We're now learning that people who were associated with UKIP and the Brexit Party were receiving money from Russia. We really, I think, need to be aware of the potential for outside influence to be brought subtly via social media, and of course via social media and the internet. There's not a great deal that government and electoral law can do about.
What about if they'd said, if they'd said to Bonzo, well, we'll have a referendum, but it's got to be, you know, it's got to be a two-thirds majority. It's got to be a significant majority, like they used to do with the devolution referenda in Scotland years and years ago. There was one, I think, in 1979 that didn't get through because of that.
Yes, but it also depends two-thirds majority of what? Two-thirds majority of the turnout, or two-thirds majority of the registered electorate? which are two hugely different things. So that's one issue with the referendum. Secondly, of course, the question which will be placed on the referendum, which I gather under the Referendum Act 79, is something that the Deemsters decide, and not Temple at all.
Right.
So, again, that would be an impossible position. So, whilst there are arguments for referenda on very critical issues of conscience, such as assisted dying, that, although I wouldn't recommend that there be a referendum on it, there is a case to argue for that. But for pieces of things which are the province of government, such as this, if you don't like what the government is doing, then you can hold your candidates to account in the general election and do it that way. That's because it will be the candidates who then go into Tynwald who could then repeal the law and amend it. There's nothing to prevent them from doing that. So if enough people encourage enough candidates and enough candidates are voted for to get in the Tynwald, who would say, oh, right, we have to modify the ideas of the Climate Change Act, that is an appropriate democratic way of doing it.
Are you but standing for keys next year, Bonzo?
I think I've told you about this.
Well, I just keep trying, Bonzo.
On three times. No. I'll keep restating the reason. I have medical issues, and I have discussed this with my medics, and they say no.
All right. Okay. Well, we appreciate your call and your content always, Bonzo. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay, then. Thanks. Bye.
17 minutes to one.
As our loved ones age, they carry not only the memories of the past, but also the uncertainties of the future. Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's guidance on enduring powers of attorney and more.
Cybersecurity is important for any business, no matter what the size. Protecting both you and your clients' data dramatically reduces the risk of a cyber attack. Luckily, it doesn't have to be expensive. At JTG, we're island-based and tailor our approach to cybersecurity on your needs. Protection can be as little as the cost of a coffee a week. Click jtg.im and get your free business health check today. Keep you and your business safe with cybersecurity from JTG.
Greetings from the North. No, not the North Pole. I'm enjoying a day out in Ramsey. I've found friendly pubs and eateries at the Garden Centre. Christmas trees, lights and decorations are sparkling. And as for shopping, well, let's just say that Mrs. Claus will love her prezi. Come and discover Ramsey's independent and exclusive shops for clothing, jewellery, electrical goods, handmade gifts and more. For Christmas, Ramsey has it all. Brought to you by W.S. Meseron. Proud to be in Ramsey.
This Christmas, take the pressure off your plate and let the Isle of Man Creamery bring the best of local goodness straight to your door. Fresh milk and dairy, pastries, coffee, Ross Bakery loaves, eggs, potatoes and more. Look out for Christmas specials like Noah Bakehouse mince pies and Oakle's smoked porter mature cheddar. Sit back and let Christmas come to you. Order now via the app at isleofmancreamery.com/deliveries.
Still searching for only their second home win of the season so far, FC Isle of Man are back in action on Ireland this weekend with a potentially poignant game on the cards. The Manx side welcome AFC Liverpool to the bowl this weekend, with both sides in vital need of points to get further clear of the drop zone. Join me, Rob Pritchard, for FC Isle of Man versus AFC Liverpool, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thank you, Dave. Dropped a note in to say an Isle of Man based business providing services to Ireland will be spending significant amounts of money with the steam packet when the new service comes into operation, says Dave. We look forward to more information where that's concerned. Carolyn, Andy, Michelle Haywood often mentions climate change when discussing flooding, but she doesn't talk about the extensive building on former farmland over the last 40 years, which has a major impact on drainage. Here's Stephen with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. A couple of points, if I may, please, Andy and listeners. The first one is, I think possibly Chris Thomas's motion about the gas extraction possibly was coloured by the long debate that was had about Stu Peters' motion on climate change and our involvement with it. And I think possibly there was a bit of frothing at the mouth, and the brain cells were really, for those who are against, who think it's heresy to even discuss the possibility of us reducing certainly our spend on climate change initiatives, was clouded by that. Because if you read all the information in a cool and calm-headed way, gas is still considered by most people who are involved with energy production as a transition fuel, until we can, certainly in England, if you look at the recent announcements by the Labour Party to stimulate the economy, they want to build AI centres around the country, and they think this will be a good way of finding employment in various areas. And they talk about the requirement for, I think the last time I read an article about this, it would be 8 gas-powered power stations they would need to provide the energy for, these because they do consume huge amounts of energy. I think I also read in Ireland that half of their energy production goes to these centres. So they are huge consumers of energy, and until they can get the small nuclear modular reactors online, then they say that the transition fuel is going to be gas. So I think they threw the baby out with the bathwater for, of course, rejecting Chris Thomas's motion. And I think it was clouded by the motion from Stu Peters. Those people had lost all sense of reason, I believe, at that stage. And consequently, the motion wasn't supported.
Why do you think that is, Stephen?
Well, I think that sometimes when there was a lot of speakers who spoke about Stu Peters' motion, I think the motion became a topic about, are you a climate denier or do you support the premise that the climate is changing, rather than his premise that let the people decide. I'm against referenda for the very reasons that Bonzo and many others have spoken about, because that really is why we elect full-time politicians, to look at these subjects closely and in detail without emotion, and to consider the expert witnesses that are provided. Now, unless and until you get that, I don't believe referenda are the best way forward. I'm pretty convinced, for example, if the people were asked, should there be capital punishment for murder, would you support that? And I'm sure the answer would be yes, but then you've got all the other parts of it that come in. Yeah. And that is where we really require the benefit of committee decision-making and parliamentary scrutiny. So that's what I think about that issue.
Okay. All right.
Now, the second point I'd like to just comment upon, if I may, is I think the steam packet and the directors should be congratulated for this initiative with using the Ben McCree. It's something that I've often thought they should do. We've got the vessel anyway, and it's needed as a backup. I think it's a great idea to try and stimulate the tourist season, because we all know that we need more tourists. But one thing I'd like to hope will happen is that the advertising budget will be put in place both by the steam packet and possibly some funding from the Department for Enterprise to support a good advertising campaign within both Southern and Northern Ireland to let people know that these services are there. And I would hope that there will be special offers put on. I do hope that the vessel is used more at the TT and Grand Prix periods from Ireland to stimulate the tourist market. as it used to be. So I think, yes, they should be congratulated for this trial. But I do hope that there is a reasonable marketing campaign run in conjunction with this initiative.
Okay. All right. Stephen, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's 9 minutes before one, and let's get to Sue with us now. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Well, terrific, thanks. I'm not sure about this weather, though.
It's a bit windy today, isn't it? Never mind. Andy, the subject I want to speak about is a bit delicate, and I do apologise if it does upset or offend anybody, but that's not my intention. I'm ringing up about the Douglas Cemetery.
Yes. This new scheme to take over the allotments.
Yeah. I mean, the people that have got those allotments, some of them would have put many years of hard graft into those allotments, and it will mean a lot to them. But my view on this is it not time that they stopped doing burials and mainly concentrated on cremations? And maybe the cemeteries, the churches and the cemeteries could create memorial gardens for people to go and sit and remember people gone, and have like memorial books in the churches or whichever building they need to go into, where again they could sit and remember people, and then there would be books of recordings of the death, the information of the death.
What have you got against graveyards?
I haven't got anything against graveyards. It's just obvious that they're running out of room in one graveyard. All graveyards are going to run out of room. So where do you stop? There has to be a point. They can't keep burying people ad infinitum. They've got to say at some point, well, we haven't got the room. We can't buy any more land because it's all been built on. And we need some green space. So where can we bury people? So is it not better that they start doing that now and create beautiful gardens of remembrance for people to go and sit in peacefully with trees and shrubs and things like that, somewhere that's nice? Because if you think about it, Andy, the majority of graveyards are just graves. There is very little greenery other than grass that's covering the graves. People go and put flowers in there, which is beautiful. It's a lovely thing to do as a memory, as a celebration of somebody's birthday that should have been, or an anniversary that should have been, etc., etc. But if there were gardens of remembrance in those cemeteries, with say like trees and shrubs and flowers that would bloom in the summer, etc., etc., then surely that would be a nicer atmosphere for people to go and sit and remember, rather than just constantly expanding land and taking things like allotments off people. Like I say, you can't keep doing that ad infinitum. You're going to run out of space eventually, so why not put a cap on it now?
All right.
There's obviously going to be some religions that require burial, and there's obviously going to be forensic necessities in unexplained deaths that require burial, but in other cases, why not stop it?
Okay, all right, Sue, we appreciate that call. Thanks for being with us today.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and if you got thoughts either way on what Sue was talking about, the end of new graveyards, then get in touch. Text, email, call and WhatsApp, and you can always go onto the answer phone.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Pete WhatsApped in. Hi, Andy. I've been denied a chance via a referendum regarding net zero. I'm not continuing to with reduce, reuse and recycle. And maybe if those folk who feel as I do adopted a similar stance, then the changes in recycling will be an indicator as to how strongly people feel about the matter. The thought I'm getting from the sense is that some people think referenda are a bit blunt, whereas a general election, you will get a rounded view of the candidates themselves. Maybe I'm oversimplifying. If you've got any thoughts, then do get in touch. But there isn't going to be a referendum. I completely agree with Mark, says Brian, and his comments on the gas field. Absolute madness not to be fully exploring the potential of the national gas field. We need fossil fuels until we are in a position to go fully green. And Orsted, apparently, this is WhatsApper 068, who apparently knows this. Orsted is shedding 2,000 jobs by the end of 2027. Considering their plummeting share price this year and the London Stock Exchange, things aren't looking good. Well, a share price going down doesn't necessarily mean the end of somebody. It's just one of those things. We've mentioned it before. This is an industrial revolution. And during the industrial revolution, the first one, that is, lots of companies came up, went down. And remember, if somebody goes out of business, typically somebody comes in and takes the assets at a cut rate. So it's not going away. Right. Any thoughts? By all means, do get in touch on the answer phone, 682-631, or email maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks to Chris on the phones. And we're back tomorrow. Your Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, MHK, will be on Man in Line. Any thoughts, any questions, do get in touch. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
WINT.